If you're able, stand with me. We're going to read the Apostles' Creed or recite that together. This is something to get internalized and get into your heart, deep within your being. This creed was given to us by the same people who under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, confirmed the canon of the New Testament. So, together out loud, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Would you pray with me? And so, Father, we thank you for your eternal love. And we pray for the outpouring of your Holy Spirit upon us. We covet above all else your touch, your anointing, your presence. Lord, I pray that every single human being listening to my voice and worshiping with us this morning would feel your presence and your touch and know in their knower that you care for them. Bless your word to that end now in Jesus' name. Now we pray the prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Well, we're going to start our message now. Last week, we ended with an invitation for you to give your life to Christ. And some of you gave your life to Christ maybe for the first time, and some of you rededicated your life to Christ. It's a wonderful thing, that this technology. We're seeing God touch lives. I have acquaintances in Los Angeles. There are folks that have let us know from Ohio and from South Carolina, and even as far away as England, folks that are watching our broadcast. So, you know, God's taking something hard, and he's using it to advance his gospel. So we started with this idea, or we ended last time with the idea that we invite Christ into the core of our being, and some of you did that. Today I want to begin to share with you some of the many benefits of knowing and walking with Christ in your day-to-day lives in this dark and dying world. So today's message is called Learning Trust in a Worried World. Everybody's worried. We're all, you know, seeing worry and the impact of worrying, and now we're getting angry, it seems like. I don't know about where you are, but in our little town here of Cambria, it has been a ghost town until Friday, and then suddenly everybody came back. Everybody's just coming. The streets are full. The people are parking in places where it says, you can't go here, you can't park here, and they're going, never mind, I'm going to park there anyway. So I think people have gone from worry to anger, but we're going to learn about trust today in a worry-driven world. And this is part of our series, Defeating Fear in Dark Days. God doesn't want you to live with worry. He doesn't want you to live with fear. And some of us get habituated to these things and even addicted to them. And God wants to free us from those negative addictions. And to do this, we start with a confession, and we sing that today. And it is the first line in the 23rd Psalm, the one chapter that's quoted more than any other chapter in the Bible. I didn't say verse, I said chapter. That whole chapter is quoted, it's memorized, it's downloaded. People cling to that in hard times. It's a wonderful chapter of Scripture, the 23rd Psalm. And it starts, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We sang, you are my shepherd, I have no need. So it's personalized. Lord, you are in control. You're my shepherd. I have no needs. You see, God is the source of everything I need. And this is the point of letting God be our shepherd. There's three things I'd like to touch on today. Three advantages of letting God be our shepherd. The first is God is a source of everything I need to live. So when you read different translations of the opening verse in the 23rd Psalm, it says, in various translations, the Lord is my shepherd. One says, I shall not want. Another says, I will lack nothing. Another says, I have what I need. Another says, I will never be in need. Another says, I will always have everything I need. I think there's a theme here. What do you think? There's a little theme going on here. If the Lord is my shepherd, then all my needs are taken care of. He feeds us. He cares for us. He takes care of our needs. Notice there it doesn't say the government. You know, I thought of a bumper sticker. I'm going to make one someday. No, people don't do bumper stickers very much anymore, except real fanatics. You'll see fanatics with whatever fanatical position you hold, but they'll have 18 different bumper stickers. You can't even read them. There's so many of them. But other than that, they're just not what they used to be. But this one was, who do you put your trust in, G-O-V, with a V, like Victor, or G-O-D, ? A lot of people want to put their trust in government, and government is not really the answer. It's part of the answer, but it's under God that the government works. It's not Wall Street. It's not your 401k. It's not your net worth or your doctors or medicine. Some of us have seen some of the folks here, if you have any retirement fund, you've seen that a third of that just evaporate. It's really hard when you're trying to plan on taking care of business when you're old and unable to produce income anymore. You can put your trust in lots of things, but masks aren't going to save you. Hand sanitizer is not going to save you. And not even antibodies are going to ultimately save you. Those are all fine things. We all want those things. But that is not the answer. If we have these things in our lives, that's fine. But the source of all that is good is the Lord. All that is good comes from His hand. And quite honestly, I'll take God over any of these other things or all of them together. If it's God or all these other things, I'll take God, because that's where I'm going. That's my destiny. That's my eternal home. And God is going to take care of all that. So since He's my shepherd, how do I respond to that? Proverbs says this. This is some of your favorite verses in the Bible. Proverbs 3:5-6. There it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Or will make straight your paths, depending on the translation. Isn't that wonderful? So this is the equation. This is the part that we have to internalize and learn. And for some of us, learning this wasn't that hard. For others, it's really hard because we're so distracted and our minds are not heavenly focused, we're horizontally focused. We're thinking about all the things in life, and we have the radio going, we have the stereo going, we have talk shows going, we have the TV going, we have our cell phones going, we have Facebook going, and all those distractions keep us from looking up. And so some of us need to take our cell phones and put reminders on the calendar that pop up and say, look up. Look up, turn to God, or push, pray until something happens, or think about God right now, or just these little reminders, you know, have that as, because if you acknowledge God first, He makes your path straight. Don't lean on your own understanding. Your own understanding is great, but don't lean on it. It's necessary. It's part of life. We need understanding, but don't put your trust in that alone. Put your trust in the living God first. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Bottom line, you want to put your security into something that can never be taken from you. And God can never be taken from you, and you can never be taken from God. All these other things can be taken away. Right? I mean, we put our trust in the fact that I'm going to get in my car, go to the grocery store, and there's going to be groceries there. I don't know, simple things like toilet paper is going to be there. And then it's not. And we know the whole supply chain has been disrupted now. We know whole industries have been shut down now. Even hospitals have canceled all these elective surgeries. And we haven't seen the fruit of all that yet, but it's coming down the pipeline. Don't put your trust in those things. Those things are important. We want them to work. We pray for them. So we don't want people around us to suffer. This is not really just about life and death. There's a whole misery index of things that are being affected here. And if those things, you need those things not to be miserable, guess what's going to happen? Misery. We need to put our trust in the living God. He needs to be our focus. So that's number one. Number one, how do I make God my shepherd? Understand that he's a source of everything I need to live. Number two, there's nothing I need that God can't supply. He's my source. That's number one. Number two, there's nothing that he can't supply that you need. Philippians 4:19. A lot of us have been living in Philippians this last month or two or three, right? 4:19, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So what are the riches God has in glory, and how has he supplied it to us through Christ Jesus? Well, he, Jesus, gave everything for us, and the Father gave us Jesus. If he's willing to do that, if he's willing to come to earth, be the suffering servant, to die, and then be resurrected. If he's willing to go through all that, what else is he going to withhold from you? You know, I died for you this gruesome death, but you know, forget about food. I'm not going to make sure you get the food you need, the car you need, the job you need. I don't care about that stuff, you know, but I care enough to die for you. It doesn't make any sense. Listen to the J.B. Phillips translation. God will supply all you'll ever need from his glorious resources in Christ Jesus. Isn't that great? If you're taking notes, you can underline, because this is in just about every translation, in Christ Jesus. If you are in Christ Jesus, this promise is for you. If you haven't made that decision yet, make that decision now. If you don't think you want to put your trust in Christ yet, please understand that the promise is there for you when you're ready. God's goodness is not based on your goodness. This is part of the problem. Some people think, yeah, I'll go to church, I'll give my life to Christ. First, I got to get my life all organized, get it all cleaned up. It's kind of a mess. I'm kind of addicted. I've got some really bad attitudes. I have an anger problem, a depression problem. I have all these problems, and I'll get my house in order, then I'll go to God. And that's exactly backwards. You need God's grace and help to get your house in order. If we put the cart before the horse, you can't, the cart doesn't go forward. Give your life to God, invite him into the mess, have him give you his grace, his goodness to help you. You don't have to be good for God to be good to you. God is good to you right now. God is good because of what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. Accept that goodness now. Number three, God doesn't want me to worry about anything. Well, what about important things? What if I'm not planning? See, it doesn't say planning there. We connect those two sometimes. We need to disconnect them. Plan, fine. Do all the planning you want. Planning without worrying is what God wants. Proverbs, a book full of examples of planning. Planning's a good thing. Worrying isn't. God doesn't want me to worry about anything. Point number three. In fact, worry may be the most common sin on the planet. We some of us are addicted to worry. Philippians, again, chapter 4, verse 6 through 7. Listen. There it says, do not worry about anything. You look up the Greek word for anything there, and the best translation for that word is anything. Anything is what that means. Do not worry about it. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So if you can worry, you can pray. All right? It's the same thing, except you direct it towards God and you let go of the control. That's all. You let God control it. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. There's that phrase again, in Christ Jesus. Listen to this again. This time, New Living Translation. There it says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. There you go. There's the equation, okay? You're praying, part of your brain is turned to worry. You're not praying. Let go of the worry. Turn that over to prayer. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Quite honestly, there are days I've had in my life, even weeks, where I'll be depressed. But the one thing I've learned to do is go back to God and say, God, it sucks right now. This situation sucks. I really, really hate this circumstance in my life. It's really painful. But you know what? Thank you for the good years. Thank you for the good people in my life. Thank you for the abundance that I've had. Thank you for all that you've done for me, for dying on the cross for me, for giving me eternal life. Thank you. It's not going to stay this way. Guess what happens to depression? The more depressed you are, the more you need to do this. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. It says, verse 7, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus, close quote. That's the word of God. That's the word of God. These verses, by the way, I don't know about you, but many, many people in the last weeks have said, you know what verse I've been clinging to, Gary? Philippians 4, 16 and 17, or 6 and 7. That's been in my mind, in my heart. You see, that's the theme verse for those of us that are living through this pandemic, the pandemic of the virus and the pandemic of fear. The pandemic of fear is far more destructive to you and me than the virus is. I'm not saying the virus is fine. It's not. It's a bad thing. We want to overcome it. But fear will multiply the effects of the virus. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 is the theme verse to overcome that fear. Folks, we've talked about this many times. You can pray or you can panic. If you're not praying, you're panicking, most likely. You can worry or you can worship. If you're not worshiping, you're worrying. Turn the worry around and worship. Give glory to God. Turn your heart to God. You see, God tells me not to worry, and he gives us reasons. In fact, I want to share 5 of those reasons with you today, and they're all out of the Sermon on the Mount. They're all out of Jesus' mouth. This is Jesus Christ, who one philosopher said is the smartest human being who's ever lived. He would ask his philosophy class, tell me the smartest person that ever lived. They'd say Einstein. Somebody'd say Aristotle or Socrates or Plato. And they'd go through this long list, and he would wait, and they'd put 20 or 30 names on there on the chalkboard, and then he'd say, isn't it interesting? Nobody said Jesus Christ. And he said, let me tell you something. He's at the top of my list. This guy... That's from a philosophical point of view, not from he's divine and therefore he's right. And you read the Sermon on the Mount, you see the genius of our Lord. It's all in there. How to live the Christian life, what attitudes to have in life, how to interact with other people. If we had no other part of the Bible, we just had those 3 chapters in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and we internalized them and lived by them, every one of us would be change agents for the kingdom of God in dramatic ways. Everything you need to know to live the life of a true follower of Christ, it's right there. So we're going to go there. Right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount are 5 reasons why we should not worry. This is so important. Jesus preaches the greatest sermon ever preached, and he puts this right in the middle because he knows our hearts, and we'll live with worry. How do we overcome that? How do we overcome that anxiety, that worry? Reason number 1, to do that, is worry is unreasonable. In other words, it doesn't make sense to worry. It's illogical. It's irrational. It's unreasonable. Verse 25, chapter 6 says this, Jesus Christ, the Word of God, says this, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life." For what reason? "As to what you will eat or what you will drink, or for your body as to what you will put on. Is not," here's the reason, "is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?" For some of you, that's a big revelation. What? Food is everything, you know. If you don't eat, you die. And if you're not eating healthy, you get sick. And if you're not, you know, eating really quality and well-crafted food, it's boring. And you're saying it's, what? No, that's right. Jesus says this is not the center of your life. The Word of God is the center of your life. Man, woman does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. It's a big revelation when you think about clothes. You see, there's this mantra in our culture, clothes make the man or the woman. Clothes make the man. Well, yeah, you know, if you're dressed in rags and you go for a job interview, yeah, your rags will make you unemployed, okay? So there's some truth to that. But it's not the core of your life. Clothing don't make the man or the woman. He says, don't worry about these minor issues. Minor issues? Yeah, minor issues. In the first place, we worry about the little stuff, how I look, my appearance, what I say, how people hear me, how they stuff that isn't going to matter in 5 years. My clothes from 5 years ago, other than for a couple of suit jackets, are completely gone. How about yours? But you stand in front of the mirror. Is this going to really, you know, I'm standing in front of the mirror. Is this going to send the right message? Are people really going to understand who I am by, really? Don't stress the little. So this is temporary. It's not going to matter in 5 years. If you're really going to worry, if you decide, you know, I got to have, worry is just part of my thing. Worry about important things. Worry about what's eternal, not what's external. Okay, because we're all headed for the eternal. Worry about that. Think about the question, in 10 years, how important is this going to be? In 100 years, how important is this going to be? In fact, one fellow that taught people how to organize their life and plan their life and have a vision for the future, he said, you need two guideposts in your life. You need one that's 10 years out and one that's 100 years out, or the end of your life. And you draw a line between those two. And okay, this is where I want to be in 10 years. This is where I want to be at the end of my life. And you draw the line. And anything that takes you away from that line, you say no to it. That's how you decide what's important. And then he said, more important still is to put a third guidepost, and that's in eternity. When you stand before the living God and you're answering for your life, you know, what is it that you want to be able to say to him so you keep on that line, that path? Jesus said, if you put your hand to the plow of the kingdom of God and look back, you're unworthy of it. And this is exactly what he's talking about. You see, this is how you plowed before you had GPS, all right, and before you had all ways to line things up with north and south and so forth. You would pick a distant object and a closer object, and you would make a line, and you would plow that first furrow. And then you'd use that first plowed line to do the next one and the next one and so forth and so on. See, if you're looking behind you and you're plowing, the donkey is pulling you, you don't have a straight path. And Jesus said, that's not worthy of you. You don't want to be wandering all over the place. That's not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is plowing straight. So what's eternal, not what's external? The second reason is to worry about something you can't change is that it's useless. It's stupid. If you can't change it, why are you worrying about it? Oh, there's this thing and I have no power to change it. You know, then why are you worrying about it? Give it to God. Okay, God, this is bigger than me. I'm putting it in your hands. Forget about it. If you can't, then you're just wasting your time. Worry gives us the illusion of control. This is why we worry. We think somehow that turns into power or control, and it doesn't. Worry makes a problem seem bigger and bigger. We go to worrying about what other people think of us to what they, you know, hey, do they like my clothes? Do they think I look good? We go from worrying about that to thinking people hate us. I mean, it's a very small step to worrying about what other people think to just assume that they hate us. In fact, they've studied this. They don't. People don't hate you, and they don't hate me. They don't think about us. They think about themselves, and they think about what other people are thinking about them. You see, this is how everybody else is reacting. You're not in their head all the time. People are too busy to think about what other people think about them more than just momentary right in front of them. So that's number one. Number one, reason, not worry is unreasonable. Number two, worry is unnatural. Jesus says it's unnatural. Look, he says he uses nature, he uses horticulture, and he uses bird watching. Here, listen, verse 26. Look at the birds of the air, Jesus said, that they do not sow or reap or gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And why are you worried? Verse 28. I'm skipping verse 27. We'll get back to that. Verse 28. And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that Solomon in all his glory was never clothed like one of these. Human beings are the only thing in nature, Jesus is saying. Human beings are the only thing that God's created in the universe that worry. Everything else just goes about living. Cows, they go about living. Plants, rocks exist. They don't worry. Horses don't worry. Ants don't worry. They just go about their business. Now what he's doing here is he's giving us a couple of lessons from nature. He says, okay, let's do a little bird watching. If anybody's on God's welfare plan, it's birds. Because birds really don't do anything, really. What do birds do? They don't build things. They don't contribute to the world in ways that we can really see. All they do is tweet and poop. That's it. They tweet. And you already know how to do both those things. You're already doing those things yourself. You know, but you do a lot more than that, and you are needed to do a lot more than that. He says that you're in God's welfare system. Just like God takes care of birds, he's going to take care of you. God just made them because they're beautiful and sweet to listen to. He says, look, they're not worried. They're not worried. Aren't you of more value than the birds? I take care of them, he says. I'll take care of you. You worry about how you look. You know, but God's made you to be beautiful in ways that are so substantial. Once you're growing in beauty, once it's internal and coming out, then you can dress any way you want. The thing that amazed me, back in high school, there was this gal. And if you saw her, the first time you saw her, you'd say, her clothes are kind of thread worn and not very, not exactly hip and haircut, nothing to write home about, you know, and kind of a plain Jane. And then you got to know her. And this gal, everybody loved her. Nobody thought about the way she looked because they knew her heart. That always impressed me, that God cares about our heart and what comes out of us, and that touches other people's lives. And you've known people like that. It's okay to look nice. It's okay to dress up. Nothing wrong with that. But don't worry about it. Let God work on the inside, make you beautiful. And he says, just like the lilies of the field are beautiful, just naturally, if you let God bloom inside of you, you'll be beautiful. I think of tea tree plants. We have them all over the place in Cambria. I walk all the time through Cambria and I see them. And most of the time, and plants, when I was younger, plants, whatever, flowers. Okay, people like flowers. Yeah, put flowers out. I don't care, whatever. I didn't think about flowers. And something happened. I don't know, somewhere between 55 and 60, my brain started realizing the beauty in flowers. And I fell in love with tea tree plants. And I still do. When I'm out on my walk this time of year, they're beautiful. They're gorgeous. You look at their blossom, and it's the size of your thumbnail, but the intricacy in that little blossom is just exquisite. And then there's thousands of them on one plant, and they're beautiful. And God says, that is how I made you, your soul, to be. If you let me grow in you, you'll be beautiful like that. Your beauty will touch people's hearts and minds. So that's the second reason Jesus gives us. Worry is unnatural. Third, worry is unhelpful. It doesn't help. Verse 27, we skipped that. Let's go back to that. 6:27 says, Jesus says, and who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? King James says, a single cubit to his lifespan. And some people have taken that to mean your height. Okay. Well, worrying doesn't make you taller. But worrying also, and this is really what Jesus was talking about, doesn't help you live longer. In fact, it's a joke, isn't it? Even Jesus, even in the ancient world, 2,000 years ago, everybody knew that if you worry, it kills you. It makes you ill. Follow me in the logic of this. Worry can't change anything in your past. That's already done. Your past is past, so why are you worried about it? Why do you let it eat at you? Let it go. Worry cannot control your future, no matter how much you think you can. I'm not talking about planning again. I'm talking about worrying, because you're not in control. We just sang that. You're my shepherd, I have no needs, for you are in control. God's in control. The environment is overwhelming. We are not in control. If you think you can control things, you're delusional, all right? That's just the reality is the more I've learned to let go of control, the more peace I have. That's what Jesus is saying here. You can't change the past, and you can't control the future. So what do? When you worry, what are you doing? You're messing up today. Today, when you could have a day of joy and peace, no, you're fretting and worrying and focused on minutia that doesn't matter, that you're not going to care about tomorrow. Worry is unhelpful. It keeps you stewing without doing. It just ruins the present. It zaps the strength out of your body. It is not only unreasonable and unnatural, it's unhelpful. Worry kills you. Proverbs 12:25, the first part of that verse says simply this: worry weighs us down. It does. People say, I'm worried sick. And yes, you are. You're worrying yourself sick. It causes all these problems. Stomach causes ulcers, insomnia, headaches, migraines, backaches, intestinal distress. Worry will eat at us. When we suppress worry, we know from psychology, it produces illness in our bodies. We know this. In fact, let me tell you something. Worry causes more fatigue than work. If you can work without worry, you'll be tired at the end of the day, but you know, you'll be, okay, all right, that's a good day. But if you're worrying the whole day, you'll go home fatigued and depressed and down and dragging in and collapsing into bed where you can't sleep because you're worried. The Bible says this, Proverbs again, verse 13, or chapter 13, verse 40. Listen, a heart at peace gives life to the body. That's the contrast. Do you want to be healthier? Stop worrying. You've got to learn to trust God. You've got to learn to let him be your good shepherd. In fact, that's a really good practice. You wake up in the morning, acknowledge him in all your ways. The first thing you want to do is acknowledge him. Wake up in the morning and you go, this is something you can start. I've just started doing this recently myself. You just wake up, you know, I'll either slide out of bed or I'll push my pillows back and sit up and I'll try to get focused for the day. And I'll say, Lord Jesus Christ, you are my good shepherd. Be my shepherd today. Help me to rely on that today. Amen. Real quick prayer. I've acknowledged him. Now what he's going to do, he's going to make my path straight through the day. A heart at peace gives life to the body. Let Jesus be your good shepherd. Worry is unhelpful. It is unnatural. It is unreasonable. And four, worry is unnecessary. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, and that's how valuable all these plants are. We use them for heat, use them for kindling. You are so much more valuable than that. Will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? You of little faith. As Dallas Willard said, he said to his disciples, you little faiths. You know, you're more valuable than that. What does God want you to have faith in here? What is Jesus saying you should have faith in here? He wants you to have faith in your value to God. He wants you to say, God values me. God thinks I have eternal worth and value. God wants to take my life and bless it. You're worrying about a lot of things that God is responsible for. Worry is assuming responsibility that God never intended you to have. Every time you worry, it's a warning light flashing saying, I'm playing God. I'm playing God. You're not God. You're not. God is God, and you are his creation. And he created you for joy, for his joy, for your joy, for eternal joy. Stop playing God. Let go and let God, as the bumper sticker says. I'm playing God. I'm thinking that it all depends on me, that I don't have a heavenly father, that I don't have a good shepherd who's watching out for me, who will feed me and lead me and meet my needs. You're thinking that about yourself. You know what that's called? That's called practical atheism. You might have faith, you might believe, but if it's all about you and you getting it right, you're living like an atheist. That's just dumb. It's completely, completely unhelpful. It's unnecessary. On the other hand, once you understand that God is your heavenly Father and you understand the goodness of God, worry evaporates from your heart, from our hearts. Learning to stay in that reality is where peace lives. Number five, worry is unbelief. Worry is that it's useless, it doesn't work, worry is worthless, it doesn't change anything when you worry, and it's unbelief. You're not believing what God has said about himself in his relationship with you. It's unbelief. When I was young, number one confession of sin in my life, and I hope every day, I spend time and I confess the mistakes, the wrongs, the sins in my life, and ask for God's forgiveness and grace to do better the next day. And that evolves over time. When I was young, when I was in my 20s, number one confessed sin was lust. I know that's very unusual for a 20-year-old, right? But it lust after women, after power, after things, after money, after position. Lust. God forgive me. That's not even probably number 10 on my list anymore. Number one, right at the top of the list, is unbelief. Lord, forgive me for not believing all the things you want to do through me and in me in this world. Forgive me. See, worry produces unbelief, and unbelief is sin. Listen to verse 32. For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. What do they seek after? Clothing, food, riches, wealth. All these things. For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. But your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. That ought to pause you. If you're ever meditating on this scripture, what your heavenly Father knows, what does he know? He knows you need these things. What does he know you need? He knows you need clothing. He knows you need food. He knows you need an income. He knows that already. He knows that. So why are you worrying about it? He's going to provide for you. That's the point. That's what he's saying. Listen to this again, this time from the Message paraphrase. There it says, quote, people who don't know God and the way he works, they worry over these things. That's that practical atheism we're talking about. You know, he's saying here, God, if God's going to take care of my every need, then every time you worry, you're doubting God. Have you ever thought about that? That's why worry's sin. The starting point is the humble attitude. Oh God, you are God and I am not. That's a prayer we can all pray. When I understand that, all of a sudden the worry starts draining out of my life. The tightness in my stomach just starts to disappear. And the calm comes. God, you're in charge. People who don't know God, the way he works, they worry about these things. And quite honestly, if you're an unbeliever, if you don't believe, you that's who you are, you ought to worry. I mean, if you're in control of your destiny, that's got to be terrifying. But followers of Christ are different because we have a Heavenly Father, a good God, who promises to care for us. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus Christ said, don't be worried. John 14:1, don't be worried. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Jesus tells us the cure in the rest of the segment on the Sermon on the Mount. How do we get there? How does that work? Verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God. There's that first thing again. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What's the right way to live? What does God say is the right way to live? That's his righteousness. Seek his kingdom. Here's the truths. His righteousness, the right way to live, and all these things will be added to you. What will be added to you? Clothing, food, the finances you need. And then he says, so don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Okay, Gary, you're saying, I'm hearing you say, God tells me not to worry. That's unbelief. It's unnecessary. It's unhelpful. It's unnatural. It's unreasonable. Great, that's very interesting and all, but how do I stop worrying? Okay, I'm supposed to stop worrying. How do I stop worrying? I'm so glad you asked, and I just want to say, here's how. Learn to trust. Trust overcomes worry. But you have to trust in the one person who has the power to fulfill your life's needs. You have to trust in Jesus. Trust, just generically speaking, is not enough. It has to have the focus of Jesus. And you may be thinking, yeah, well, I trust myself. Well, that's great. Why are you worried then? Just asking. Why are you worried if you trust yourself? If that's enough? It's not enough. Deep down, you know that you are not. We were made to be in a companionship and partnership with the living God, connected to him, and without that, we are incomplete. There's no getting around that. You were designed for a relationship with God. Until you have that relationship, you will have this gnawing sense of worry, fear, and anxiety. That's why Jesus said in verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And now you're thinking this, so Gary, how do I trust Jesus to meet my needs? How does that work? I'm so glad you asked that. I really am. And we're going to learn that next time, next week, when we get back to the next part of this message. You know, quite honestly, this whole internet church thing, the hard part is I'm used to seeing your faces interacting with you, and you help me. It. When I see people get it, I stop explaining. Okay, people are getting it. I can move on. I don't see your faces for that. And so I went a little long last week. I want to try to shorten it this week. But I want to pray with you. Because we live in a worry-driven world. And we need to learn to trust God in that world. So let's pray. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus Christ, you, of all the people on the planet, you knew what was coming, and you didn't worry. You even told everybody, hey, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. They're going to scourge me and beat me and crucify me and kill me. But you weren't worried. In the world that was going to destroy you, you had peace, and you said, this peace I give to you, not as the world gives. And so, Lord Jesus, I thank you for the disruption in my life and in our lives that the coronavirus has caused, not for the death, not for the suffering, but for this disruption, because this disruption has helped us to start to focus on eternal things and to learn that we're not in control, to let go and let God. And so, Lord, for some of us, we need to confess to you the sin of unbelief, the sin that we worry, that we want control. And if that's you today, if that's your heart today, if God's speaking to your heart, then just give that to God. Just say, yeah, God, that's me. I've been worrying. I've been seeking control. I've been angry. I've been depressed. I've been anxious. And that all stems from unbelief. And so I give that to you. I give you all of that, Lord. I put it in your hands. Just picture the Good Shepherd. Just you know, it's like picking burrs out of the wool of the sheep, picking them out. Just, you know, you're giving them to him. He wants to take that off of you right now. The unnaturalness of unbelief, the unnecessariness of it. Lord, free us. And we confess that to you. And I confess to you, Lord, that I put my trust in you. I'm going to acknowledge you every day, multiple times a day, that you are my good shepherd. And because of that, I have no needs, I have no wants. You're going to take care of it. You've taken care of my eternity and how you want to take care of my circumstances in this life right now. All the food I need, the clothing, all my financial needs. And Lord, for my friends right now that are really hurting financially because of loss of income, because of this virus, we pray for them. We ask, Lord, that you would indeed supply all their needs according to your riches in Christ Jesus. And we thank you for these things. In Christ's name, and everyone said, amen. And receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.